Father, we thank you today, and we give you all the glory and all the honor, because you're worthy. You are holy, God, and your name is above every name. And Lord, we humble ourselves before you. We bow before you, Father. And Lord, we are so mindful experientially of how holy you are and how unholy we are. We're so desperate for your provision. We thank you, Lord, that you grant repentance, that you grant us to come before you, God, in an open confession and not fearing we're going to be rejected or thrown away. But Father, we pray for your mercy upon our life. We thank you for this remembrance today of communion and what Jesus has purchased for us, what he's accomplished, and what he lives to do for us in your presence. And Father, we ask that you would be pleased with us today, that everything would be done in faith and by the Holy Spirit. And Father, you would have your glory. I pray that you would minister today, that we would move out of the way and let you do what you want to do, that you would save and heal and give wisdom and deliverance and provision to people's lives, Father, that are seeking you. And even those that are not seeking you, you desire to do good things for them, just to show them your goodness and your glory. And Father, I pray that you speak to us this morning. Help us to understand your word, Father, not for information only, but Father, just for a free life, a liberty that is in the Holy Spirit. And we give you all the glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Appreciative of our friends here from Florida. They met them at Jared's church, and they're traveling to Texas, and they came so they could stop over and be with us at church today. And so this is the Kellys, and we welcome you here this morning. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12 today, and also probably go to the book of Galatians a little bit this morning to correlate these two subjects. But in the book of Hebrews, as I bring you to your remembrance, one of the great desires of this book is to show how much better Jesus is than everything. But primarily what is done in this book is to present the ministry of Jesus as opposed to the ministry of Moses. And I said that correctly, as opposed to the ministry of Moses, because the new covenant is not like the old covenant. It's not an addition to it. It's not an addendum to it. It is completely different than the old covenant. And there's a lot of people in religion that don't realize this, and they don't know that. And therefore, they don't really live in the liberty that Jesus came to give us and in the freedom that Jesus came to give us. If you're doing your Bible reading with the church, you've been going through the book of Leviticus, and basically the Leviticus says to me, we're just horribly unclean, and God is just completely holy. And so all of these laws and all of these rules that God had to give so that he could just have a presence among the people is so amazing. When you look at all of the death of birds, the death of goats, the death of lambs, the death of bulls, all of these sacrifices that had to be made constantly. I mean, constantly. And you got a scab on you, you're unclean, and you got to bring an offering. And it's just, God is so holy. And so this new covenant is totally different than that. And not that we're not still unholy, but we become holy through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for us. And a lot of people still operate, though, now with their foundations in the old covenant, and they don't really live in a new covenant life. And so they don't have liberty, and they don't have freedom, and they're trying to deal with God on a mixture of that. And it's a huge mistake, y'all, because actually in Hebrews chapter 10, and I want you to see this, I believe there is a danger in people who can forfeit their salvation. And I want to say it that way, forfeiting it, not losing it in the sense that, oh my gosh, where did I put it? You know, but you forfeit it. And Hebrews chapter 10 talks about this. He says in verse 29, how much sore punishment do you suppose shall he be thought worthy who has trodden underfoot the Son of God, has counted the blood of the covenant whereby he was sanctified an unholy thing, and has done despite to the Spirit of grace? three things that are done there. And this goes on to the end of chapter 10 that says, very importantly in verse 35, don't throw your confidence away. Because that's what people were doing. They just came to this place in their life where they really did not rely upon the new covenant as being sufficient in itself. And so they treated the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified as unholy. And holy means to be set apart. And they counted that covenant of grace is not enough to keep me. Something else has to be done. I just cannot conceive that covenant in itself is enough. I also have to have the law in this. And so they do despite to the spirit of what? The spirit of grace. And they trod the blood of the Son underfoot. They're lost. They're lost in that. And you'll see this in the book of Galatians as well, that the people who started in faith and end in works, they start in the spirit and end in the flesh. They're lost. They've fallen from grace. And the problem with the Galatian believers was not this, you know, how much can we sin and still go to heaven? That wasn't their problem. Their problem was we really want to be more holy. We really want to be more godly and Christ-like. How can we do that? And these lawyers came in and said, yes, Jesus is wonderful, but you still have to keep the laws of Moses, our works. And Paul said, I'm so concerned for you, because if you've done this, you're lost. You're just lost. Jesus is of no avail to you. And what a horrible thing to find out. And so this is the same condition. And y'all, Jesus is better. Jesus is better than Moses, and the blood of Jesus is better than the blood of bulls. And the promises of God in Christ are better than the promises of God in the Old Testament, as far as that Old Testament covenant is concerned. He has established this covenant with us. It is an ancient covenant that God has established with us through his Son, Jesus Christ, but it dates back to the garden. It dates back to the promise of God with the first man and the woman, and it dates back to Abraham. And Abraham was not under the law of Moses. And so that's why Paul says to the Galatians, this old covenant that has been instituted by Moses does not make null and void the covenant that God established with Abraham. It doesn't rule that one out. This covenant with Abraham was on grace, and it continues now always. That's always been in the heart of God. Any man ever is going to be saved is by his faith in the Lord. And David knew this, and Moses knew this, and Abraham knew this. And it's sad that there's numbers of people in our world today that go to Christian churches and evangelical churches everywhere that don't really know this. And so I just wanted to talk to you about this, the repentance of Esau, and why he didn't find repentance, why he didn't find forgiveness. And this is talked about in Hebrews chapter 12. And so Hebrews chapter 12 talks about the chastening of the Lord. It talks about how God corrects us as his children. And if you're being corrected by God, you should rejoice, because it proves you are his child. And he's not going to let you get away with bad behavior. He's not going to let you get away with sin. Grace is not going to let you do that, okay? And I'm not even entertaining these offshoots of grace. To me, that's not even grace. It's like calling the moon the sun. It's just not the sun, okay? And so I'm not even going to give it that credence. And whatever's going around today called grace, I'm not even going to give it attention. I'm talking about the grace of God in the Word of God is not going to let you live in sin. It's going to be inside of you, convicting you. God is going to chasten you. God is going to deal with your life. He's going to deal with our unholiness, and he is going to make us holy. He's going to do it. And that is the purpose of all of his chastisement in our life, is that we might be partakers of his holiness. Without holiness, no man will see the Lord. And so how are you going to be holy? Through Christ, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and by the work of your Father, in the person of the Holy Spirit here. And he says in verse 10, and he says that this is for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, I want to stay with you here in verse 11. No chastening for the present seems to be joyous. Even when God's dealing with you, it doesn't seem joyous. And so there are times as a Christian, you're just not really experiencing the joy. Amen? I mean, let's be real. Amen? I mean, it's just not. When God's chastening you, it can be a very difficult time in your life. And you can feel an absence of joy in your life. And I'm so glad the Holy Spirit's telling us that. And therefore, because I'm not feeling this joy right now in my Christian life, I need now to appropriate things by faith. Okay? And so I have to understand that God is doing this to make me a partaker of his holiness. I need to understand that in verse 11, this yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised by it, because not everybody stays with it. They don't let God continue to chase them. They just leave him. They leave the house, whatever. So even if you're not feeling joyful, and this is a very grievous moment of your life because God is chastening you, lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. And the feeble knees. And make your path straight. So that the things that are around you, the people that are around you that are lame, won't be turned out of the way. But let that be healed. Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Now, sometimes these verses are taken all out of context. Then you'll hear somebody preach verse 14. And they'll build a whole message off of verse 14, but they will not give you verse 10 and verse 15. And this is a tragedy, because it takes us out of the new covenant and it begins to mix Moses in this. You better be holy, because if you're not holy, you're not going to see the Lord. And so now we practice all of these work-based actions to be more holy. And the problem in the last days church is not an absence of holiness, or it's not an absence of godliness. Let me say it that way. It is an absence of holiness, but not an absence of godliness. It is godliness in the last, but many people practice in godliness. Many people appearing godly. Many people appearing holy, but they have denied the power of it. And so the means of this holiness is through Jesus Christ, which is the whole context of this. Hebrews chapter 1 through chapter 11 is how we become holy through Jesus Christ. In chapter 12, it is also the chastening of the Lord, which is the means of his grace, which we need to understand. So that's how we're holy. Stay there in that holiness of Christ and the judgment of God against our life. And then he says in verse 15, looking diligently. I mean, really look for it. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. You can go pursue holiness so that you can see God and fail of God's grace. And if that happens, what's going to happen? You're going to have a root of bitterness in you. And that root of bitterness is going to spring up and it's going to begin to trouble people around you. And now, not just you are going to have some miserable religious life, but you're going to defile many people. I've seen that happen. I've seen that happen numbers of times. I've watched that happen. I've watched families be destroyed over this. I've watched people destroyed over this. It's a painful thing. And so he goes into this story to give us this example. He's bringing a conclusion by giving us an illustration. And he says, lest there be any fornicator. Now that could be the lame person that we have to be aware of. And that's why we don't walk with our head down and our hands down and our knees bent over. Lift up your hands. Straighten yourself up. You're a child of God and he's treating you like a child. So rejoice, even though it's not fun right now. Because there might be a fornicator among you. There might be somebody that's lame among you. You don't want to defile them and corrupt them. Pursue holiness. Pursue it. But look diligently into grace so that everybody that's watching you will see the love of your Father. Because there will be people who could be turned out of the way. So lest there be a fornicator or a profane person. As Esau. Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. One morsel of meat. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. And we might stop right here and we think, what a cruel God. What a cruel God. And who could ever know for sure that they've really been given the repentance or the forgiveness of God? If, after all, Esau sought it, seriously sought it with tears, but God did not grant it to him. Has God granted it to me? Maybe not. What a cruel God. Why would God be so heartless to this man? Why would God not forgive him? Why would God not help him? And that's the conclusion that religion can draw, and that's the reason people could get bitter, because they don't understand what is being said here. And so I want you to see this, and I want us to study it, and we're going to go to Galatians in just a moment. But it says, he found no place of repentance. He sought it carefully with tears. For you are not come to the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest and the sound of a trumpet and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded. And if so, much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. That's not the mountain you've come to. That's the mountain Esau went to. That's why he didn't find repentance. But that's not the mountain you come to. You're come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect, and to Jesus. Praise God, to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. Praise God. Don't refuse him that speaks. If they did not escape this voice with Moses, they're not going to escape the voice of the Son of God. And so what does this mean? Why does Paul, as he's writing this and talking to us about the chastening of God, the discipline of our lives, the necessity of holiness without which no man will see God, and then the judgment or the discipline of God in our life is to make us partakers of his holiness, and look diligently lest you fail of the grace of God, and be careful about bitterness, people. Be careful about that. Because if you don't understand what your Father's doing in your life, you could become bitter to God, and you may never go around and say, I'm bitter with God, but you're going to be bitter at the church, and you're going to be bitter at Christians, because oftentimes the instrument God uses to chasten you are other Christians. And we don't realize that, and so we get mad at the church and we get mad at Christians because we were offended, or they said something I didn't like, or they treated me harshly, or they ignored me, or something. Maybe God's dealing with our pride. And he's dealing with something in our life, and we become bitter. We're mad at the church. I don't even go to church anymore. I'm not going there. A bunch of hypocrites in there. Well, there might be, but it's more a lot of people who are really trusting wholeheartedly in Jesus Christ and are in the process of being sanctified. And they're not really hypocrites. They would be the first to admit, I'm not what I'm going to be. Be patient with me. They'd be the first to admit that. They would be the first to tell you, listen, I love you, and I want to be a friend in your life, and oh, God, help me. I don't ever want to fail you, but the possibilities are there that I'm going to fail you and let you down. And we make statements like that all the time. Then when it happens, I can't believe. I just can't believe Pastor Shipp did me like that. I can't believe that. I'll never go back to that church again. You know, and so we just discard people. We throw people out of the way. And so that's that. He gives all of these illustrations, and then he talks about these two mountains. And he talks about Esau. He's seeking repentance with tears. You're not going to be given repentance from God because you cried. You have to seek repentance by faith, not by tears. How do you know when you've cried enough? How do you know when you've suffered enough? How do you know when you've paid enough? How do you know when you've given enough? How do you know when you've gone to enough church services or you've witnessed to enough people for God to grant you repentance? Have I been good enough yet, God, for repentance? God says, no, 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 no. And then you come, God, I come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I believe, Father, that in all of my badness, he is my goodness. And the Father says, yes, you found repentance with me. Because of the mountain you came to, the mountain. Are we not vile people? Are we not so wretched that we would fail God and cry a river of tears today only to do the same thing again tomorrow? And eventually we stop crying. We just stop crying about it. Thank God there's hope still for us. On the basis of faith and grace. So go to Galatians, and I want us to just see a couple of things here that I believe are very, very important. And I want to say this, that this is Galatians 4 that we're going to go to. And I believe there's a multitude of people today who are lost because they were not given the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I believe they're lost today. Not hopefully not forever, but I believe there's law. I believe they're lost because they were not given the gospel. They were taken to a different mountain. They were not taken to the right mountain. And the mountain of Moses looks so good. It looks so right. But this mountain of Jesus, this mountain of grace, is it really sufficient? Can it be enough? Can it be enough? Maybe we need to go to the mountain of Jesus one day and the mountain of Moses the next day. Go to the mountain of Jesus to get right and go to the mountain of Moses to live. Oh, no way. No way. Go to the mountain of Jesus and stay there. Just stay there. Galatians chapter 4, and he tells us in verse 22, and he says, "For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman." And it's amazing how God allows all these things to happen before they ever happened. And he's never like, okay, how can I make a story out of this? What do I do? I can't believe Abraham went into Hagar and she's having a son. Can you believe, angel, she's having a son? God controls life, doesn't he? Yeah, she's having it. This was all planned before the sixth day. This was all planned before the foundations of the world. God knows what he's doing, and he knows what man's going to do. And he uses it. So this beautiful illustration comes of his son. And so there's a bondwoman and there's a free woman. He who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. And we understand that's Isaac, the free woman. He's the son of the free woman. These things are an allegory. They're a story. For these are the two covenants. How many of you know there's two covenants? Not one covenant that's been expanded. Two covenants. Completely different. Completely different. So these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which we just read about in Hebrews 10, which genders to bondage. This is Hagar. For this Hagar in Mount Sinai in Arabia and answers to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. And there are multitudes of people in evangelical churches who are in bondage. They're not free. They're not free. And they don't understand it. They don't get it. They just don't get it. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free and is the mother of us all. For it is written, "Rejoice, thou barren that bearest not, break forth and cry, thou that travailest not, for the desolate has many more children than she that has a husband." Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Praise God. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now, and it is now. I mean, it is now. It is in 2015, 2016, 2017, 2018, 2019, 2020. And if Jesus tarries, it'll be in 2021. That there will be people who inhabit the evangelical church that only know Hagar and her mountain, and they only know bondage, and they are going to harass the free children of God. They're going to harass them. They don't understand your freedom. They don't understand your liberty. And they cannot deal with it. They cannot reconcile it. And so again, verse 29. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the scriptures, and this is what you have to do, it's very hard to do, cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. You can't have both covenants. You have to throw one out. You cannot take them both. You cannot take the covenant of Jesus Christ and the covenant of Moses. You cannot do it. You have to cast one of them out. And hopefully you would know to cast the bondwoman out. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And so I want to bring you to that, and I want to say that because Galatians 4 is a depiction of the two mountains that he again refers to in Hebrews chapter 10. And so if you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, I'm sorry, I keep referring to chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 12, then you begin to find these are why the two mountains are talked about. And Esau went to Hagar for his repentance. And he wasn't given repentance. There was no ground for him. And you could go to Jesus. You could go to the free woman. You can, but to do that, you have to throw out the bondwoman to go there. That takes faith because Moses, what he gave, did not deal with faith. The law is not of faith. It's naturally understood. It's naturally reconciled. It is naturally lived in. It is naturally participated in. But the life of faith, that is a life that has to totally believe in what God has established through his son, Jesus Christ. I have to put all of my hope in Jesus. Not just for salvation, but for life every single day. And bound people cannot deal with the freedom that free people have. That's why they can't handle things that you are so free with. They just can't handle it. They can't handle things that you're absolutely enjoying in the Lord. Well, I can't enjoy that. I can't enjoy this. I can't enjoy this style of music. I can't enjoy that style of music. I'm so twisted. I'm so bent out of shape. I don't know about everything's critical. Everything's judged. Everything's wrong. Nobody measures up. There's nothing right. It's a critique about everything. Those are the bound people. They're bound up. And they're not free. They're not free to be able to rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep and celebrate the life of Jesus Christ that is in people and to see the hand of God and the life of God in people. Michelle made a comment a while back, maybe years ago, and you might help me if I get a little bit wrong, but it was like the Pharisees are still killing Jesus wherever he shows up. They're still killing Jesus wherever he shows up. And so that might be in a person, a Christian, that might be in this room that's not measuring up to your standards. That might be a minister that maybe has not reached their maturity yet, but they're still a minister of God. And because they haven't reached their maturity yet, you're done with them. You kill the life of God that's in them and where they're going and what they could be. And honestly, guys, I mean, what church? If the Holy Ghost hadn't recovered him and wrote about it, what church would Peter get to pastor today with his failures? What music what church would David be able to lead worship in today? An adulterer, a mass murderer. You know, I mean, I'm sorry, you don't qualify to be our worship leader. And so we today, the bond people continue to kill the life of Jesus. They continue to do it. And they don't know that they're doing it. They're zealous for God. They're zealous for the things of Moses. They're zealous for holiness. They're zealous for that. But they're bitter. Can't you see the bitterness? Those of you that are free, can't you see the bitterness? Can't you feel the bitterness? Can't you feel how it begins to infect and try to destroy everything that's around them, everything that goes on, all of the people that are around them? And the whole thing is like this, the Holy Spirit who authored this is like, oh, y'all, please, please be careful. There are fornicators in your midst. There are profane people in your midst. There are lame people in your midst. And the way that you Christians behave, you're going to cause them to turn out of the way. And I want to save them. In all of your religious zeals, all of your noble desires to pursue holiness or to pursue that or pursue this, and you're taking the people to the wrong mountain. And you're crying and you're afflicting yourselves and you're tormenting yourselves and you're refusing any joy and you're refusing any liberty in your life because you know you're not worth it. You're wretched and you're vile and you have no right to be happy because you know how awful you are. Oh, please, please get off that mountain and come to the mountain of the heavenly Jerusalem. Come to the mountain of the new covenant of his blood. Come to the mountain of Jesus where there's freedom and there's liberty. And his blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel, whose Abel's blood, if you know, cried vengeance, vengeance. And that's why God came down to the earth and said to Cain, your brother's blood is crying out to me. And Jesus's blood is crying mercy. Mercy, mercy. And that should be our cry. I think it is the cry of every free person. Mercy, come with me. Come with me to a different mountain. Come with me to the mountain of God. Come with me to the mountain of Jesus. Come with tears. That's wonderful. Come with sorrow. That's wonderful. But the only way up this mountain is faith. And when you have faith, God gives you grace, and you don't climb this mountain with some rigorous religious affliction and effort and grueling toil. No, when you come to this mountain and you begin to approach it, and in faith you're going to put everything into it, all of a sudden you're going to mount up with wings like eagles, and you're going to soar. That's what Isaiah was talking about. And you're going to soar to the top of this mountain on the wings of his power. And you're going to rest in your Savior, Jesus Christ. And you're not going to understand or have the capacity to grasp this love that God has for you. But you will know he is your Father and you are his sons and his daughters. And he is making you holy within and without. And when you come to that, you will always find repentance. The ground of reconciliation with God has always been, it always is, and it always will be, the blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. And that is the grounds of it all. We'll continue this next week with the life of faith to walk this out. Father, we thank you today in Jesus' name. We give you all the glory for the kindness that you show us. Father, we are very aware of how wretched we are and sinful we are, and we're also more and more aware of how holy Jesus is and what a provision he is to us. Father, let us walk in this grace. Let us walk by faith. Let this mountain of Jesus be sufficient to us. And Father, help us to take those that are lame, to take those that are still loyal to Hagar. Help us to get them to the right mountain. But Father, if they won't, then Lord, please don't let them infect our liberty with their bitterness. Lord, let us be the people who are free, and let us live as free people and stand fast in it and not be ashamed of the blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We love you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.